Have you seen the price of gold lately? It's hitting all-time highs. And when it comes to investing in gold, check out Noble Gold Investments. They have a track record of excellence that's second to none. Just look at their thousands of five-star reviews on Trustpilot, Google, and the Better Business Bureau. Customers rave about their knowledgeable staff, smooth investment process, and life-changing results, which you can see for yourself online. That's the kind of reputation you can count on. But it's not just about the reviews. Noble Gold Investments truly care about their clients. They take the time to understand your unique needs and goals, and they give expert guidance every step of the way. That level of personalized service is rare in this industry. Look, when it comes to securing your financial future, you can't afford to take chances. Go with the gold company that has earned the trust of countless investors. Visit noblegoldinvestments.com/Tim Pool today and discover why Noble Gold Investments is the only choice for smart, secure gold investments. Or give them a call at 877-646-5347. Again, that number is 877-646-5347. Make sure to go to timcast.com, click join us, and become a member to support this podcast and all the work we do. And you'll get access to exclusive uncensored segments from Timcast IRL and way more. Now, let's jump into the first story. The situation in Haiti is getting extremely dire to the extent that the United States sent in the Marines to evacuate some of those from the U.S. embassy and provide security. And the reason why this story is so big is that it directly correlates with politics here in the United States. Several years ago, Donald Trump was accused of calling El Salvador and Haiti and other countries ish hole nations. Right? I'm going to refrain from swearing here. And in response, liberals and Democrats bent their spines backwards to defend Haiti. Conan O'Brien flew to a high security resort in Haiti, drank from a coconut and said, "It's so beautiful here. Trump is wrong." They ran some campaign called "Haiti is Great Already" and asked you to buy T-shirts. Many prominent liberals wore these T-shirts. I'll pull them up in just a little bit. The interesting thing, at the same time, Donald Trump was being accused of saying this. And again, we don't know that he actually did say it was a private meeting. Someone accused him of saying it. He also said El Salvador was also among these very awful places to be. And I find it fascinating because as of today, the breaking news is that cannibal gang leaders, or particularly a cannibal gang leader nicknamed Barbecue, who has been seen on video eating human, is now the most powerful man in Haiti. People are running in fear. There's videos of people being mercilessly beaten. Now, a lot of this is hard to vet. What we do know is that this crisis in Haiti has been ongoing since well before Trump was accused of saying anything bad about it. Now, there's some concerns. Because of this crisis, the United States has let in hundreds of thousands of Haitian refugees. And I think it's fair to call them refugees, considering cannibal gang leaders beating and eating people. So yes, when you're fleeing that country, you're a refugee. And there's an interesting argument to be made for people in Haiti. It may be your closest nation. The best chance of survival could be the United States. Now, there are certainly other areas in the Caribbean they could go for sure. We can make that argument. But the bigger issue is that there is no vetting process for the criminal aliens entering the southern border today. And many are concerned that 100,000 plus unvetted individuals from Haiti have crossed the southern border, many of which may be rival gang members and criminals and murderers who are fleeing the corruption and extremism of Barbecue, they call him. Now, it's terrifying what's happening there. And I'm a fan of helping people and helping refugees. But that doesn't mean we do not have security. We forego security. We let anybody enter the United States to the southern border. We've got to have a vetting process. And we can only let in those that we can actually sustain and support. And this is freaking people out. Rightly so. The big picture here, my friends, Donald Trump offered you a view of the world. And in this, we got two different outcomes, El Salvador and Haiti. In El Salvador, Nayib Bukele took over. He got elected, became president, and immediately cracked down on the gangs. Today, El Salvador is considered to be one of the safest nations in the Western Hemisphere. So they say, at the very least, they say it is possibly the safest country in Latin America. But this is only 6 years since Donald Trump said it was an ish hole, allegedly. What happened? Well, especially with the news that Bitcoin has cracked a new record high, Nayib Bukele cracked down on the gangs, began arresting all of these criminals, locking them up. Haiti was defended by the left and Democrats, and they said it was fine. I want you to imagine what this country, the United States, will be in this worldview. Donald Trump says these countries are awful. Make your choice. Those who defended Haiti and those who criticize El Salvador. This is the fascinating thing. While people like Conan O'Brien and Bill Maher bent their spines till they cracked just to hate Donald Trump, you can see what happens in Haiti as videos emerge of a man eating human. Now, the reason why they do that is not because they like to eat people. It's to strike fear into the hearts of others, that they want you to know they are so depraved, they will eat your corpse. And then you have those in the corporate press here in America who said Nayib Bukele was a monster, was an authoritarian, was a despot. And El Salvador is safe, comfortable. Their wealth rising. People are remigrating, leaving the United States to go back to El Salvador. In fact, there are people from the United States who want to be in El Salvador because of the great transformation that Nayib has brought to his country, lifting it up in ways many thought not possible. The corporate press would have you live in Haiti. They would have you own nothing and eat the bugs. And that's the Democrat support base. Let's go through the news. You don't need me to prattle. I will show you the facts. Miami Herald reports. U.S. military flies Marines into Haiti embassy, evacuating some staff in overnight airlift. The U.S. military flew in Marines to reinforce its embassy in Haiti and evacuate non-essential personnel as heavily armed gangs continue to challenge the country's tenuous government and turn the country's capital, Port-au-Prince, into a battlefield. The middle-of-the-night operation was conducted via helicopter by the U.S. military at the request of the State Department for embassy security, the U.S. Southern Command, based in Doral, said in a statement. This airlift of personnel into and out of the embassy is consistent with our standard practice for embassy security augmentation worldwide, and no Haitians were on board the military aircraft. Residents in the capital reported hearing an airplane flying overhead before the operation and sounds of a helicopter in the early hours Sunday morning. A National Security Council official told McClatchy that President Joe Biden personally directed the military to carry out the mission. He has been briefed, receives updates from his team, and is deeply concerned with the situation in Haiti. The airlift comes amid ongoing gang attacks in multiple locations around metropolitan Port-au-Prince, including Tabar, probably pronouncing it wrong, where the U.S. Embassy is located. Several nearby businesses have been looted and overtaken by armed gangs that today control more than 80% of the capital. Since last Thursday, armed groups have led a coordinated attack, demanding the resignation of Prime Minister Ariel Henry and targeting key Haitian government institutions. After taking control of several police stations, they targeted the main seaport before orchestrating a mass jailbreak at the two largest prisons. Thousands of inmates were freed by the gangs, including several notorious gang leaders. The gangs have also launched attacks on the international and domestic airports. Heavy gunfire around the airports has led to the suspension of international flights into the country. Henry, who is under pressure by the United States and the Caribbean community to resign, remains outside of the country in Puerto Rico, unable to return. In response to the attacks, Haiti recently imposed a state of emergency and curfew for a month and deployed members of its fledgling army to assist the Haiti National Police to help fight against gangs. The U.S. government recently provided the police with additional ammunition. The U.S. embassy has limited its operations as the violence escalated. Let's talk about what this is, so we understand what's happening. Stories of a gang leader named Barbecue. Videos going viral show him taking bites out of a human leg and fingers and things like that. Now, many news organizations have scrubbed these videos and images and claims. And it appears the reason is, while the video is real, it's an old video. That's what the reporting currently states. It's an old video unrelated to this conflict. But I think in that context, it's important to talk about where we have been for some time. In this post from Reddit 1 year ago, gang situation reality check, extremely graphic link. This is a post made by made to the r/Haiti subreddit, where people have been reporting for a year now cannibal gangs. They say it's pretty clear in the discussions in the last month that most people don't understand the level of violence, brutality, and fear. Again, this is a year ago someone posted this. If you aren't currently in Haiti and decently plugged in, you aren't close enough to it to get a realistic picture of what's happening. The information doesn't make it out and would likely never be presented raw by international media. When I see people say things like, the gangs should overthrow the government and start a revolution, we don't need help, that we should plant food and ask China for help, to me, it's like you're coming from another planet. You don't get it. And you can't because you don't know. He says, myself and another person posting have posted some local stuff before, but we usually self-censor a bit and filter out the worst. I've hesitated for a while about posting this stuff, but I feel it's the only way people will get it. It often comes up, why don't people fight back or rise up fear? They say, bodies are being dismembered and butchered with machetes. Gangsters are eating pieces of flesh off of victims' bodies that were set on fire. Piles of dismembered bodies from the conflict in Artibonite. A suspected informant being shot in a trash pile after bleeding out. Severed heads being put on altars. A captured police officer's body being mutilated and his head getting bashed in. I've seen some of these videos. It's hard to vet, so I don't know what's true. I can only say it this way. This post was made in March of 2023, just shy of a year ago, where individuals have reported much of what we are seeing now. So at the very least, rumors of this conflict, it's been online for some time. In fact, they say going back to 2017, since the crisis. This is a random sample from the last year. There have been hundreds going back to the first massacres in 2017. I bring you now to NBC News. A report from January 11th, 2018. Trump referred to Haiti and African nations as ish-hole countries. President Donald Trump referred to African nations, Haiti and El Salvador, as ish-hole during a meeting Thursday and asked why the U.S. can't have more immigrants from Norway. President Donald Trump, of course, is accused of saying this. Trump's comments were first reported by The Washington Post, which the Nation referred to Trump also included El Salvador. The UN Human Rights Office said the comments, if confirmed, were shocking and shameful and racist. While Haiti's foreign minister summoned the U.S. Chargé d'Affaires, Robin Diallo, for clarification. Two sources briefed in the conversation say that during the portion of the conversation about Haiti, which came at the top of the exchange that led to the ish-hole comment, the president questioned why Haitians should be given specific consideration. Why do we need more Haitians? Take them out, he said, according to sources. Someone else in the room responded, because if you do, it will be obvious why. Obvious why? Do you see the game they play? Donald Trump, of course, being concerned about reports that had already existed of cannibal gangs eating people, said, we're going to invite these people into the United States? What about Norway? Those people are, there's low crime. Well, I had to break it to you, Trump, assuming the report is true, there's an obvious reason. Yep, there's not a whole lot to flee from Norway. Things are pretty good. That's kind of the point Trump is making. But we're not going to bring in refugees from Norway, but migrants, yes. And so he's asking, when it comes to those applying, why are we going to bring in people from countries where they're killing and eating people? Well, here you go, ladies and gentlemen. And Wokeness says, thinking about when Trump called Haiti an ishole and then the propaganda regime pretended it's the best place on earth. These people are abject evil. Here's Bill Maher. Haiti is great already. Conan O'Brien, Haiti is great already. This country was in dire need of reformation. And this is what they do. Instead of saying, look, you know, Trump's right. He's kind of a dick about it, but he's right. They said, nope, Trump's wrong. Haiti's fine. And here we are. Who is that? Susan? I don't know who that is. I'm not going to find. I don't know this lady. Haiti is great already. I know Bill Maher, Conan O'Brien. That might be. Is that? Let me make sure I get the name right. Because if I don't get it right, okay, I think I'm right. Right? Is that Susan Sarandon? I think I'm right. Let me just double check, because I don't want to falsely accuse somebody. Images are not loading. I think that is okay. Just want to clarify. Don't want to falsely accuse anybody. That appears to be Susan Sarandon, and that's what they're saying online. Yep. Okay. Just wanted to clarify. Susan Sarandon, man, absolutely amazing. Conan O'Brien says, "Show your support for the people of Haiti with a Haiti is Great Already T-shirt. Each shirt sold benefits." These two organizations. Look, I have no problem with someone trying to benefit these organizations and help them. The link is gone now, of course. It's gone. I'm just so sick of this, man. Trump said, allegedly, and this is alleged. They never even confirmed. He said he was accused of saying something like, did he really even say this? It sounds like something would say, and I don't know why we should be mad that he said it. Conan O'Brien flew to a high security resort, went swimming and said, look how beautiful Haiti is. The argument they made was, well, we know that Haiti has its problems, but you're not solving them by insulting them. I'm so sick of these people who pretend. They pretend they lie because they live in this bubble world. Trump also called El Salvador one of these ishul countries. Where's El Salvador now? Well, my friends, let me pull up some of these stories from the AP. El Salvador extends anti-gang emergency decree for 24th time. It's now been in effect for 2 years. This report as of March 9th. Am I going to cry about that? That gang members were terrorizing this country and made it awful have been arrested? Now, I do have concerns. Don't get me wrong. Voice of America said, Bukele wins in landslide election in El Salvador, drawing worries of authoritarian rule. February 5th, 2024. An NPR, El Salvador's popular but authoritarian president declares election victory. I think we have another one here. Here we go from PBS. Thousands of innocent people jailed in El Salvador's gang crackdown. The double-edged sword. They say El Salvador's president, Nayib Bukele, was reelected for a second term. He's overseen a vast but brutal crackdown on gangs, transforming the nation from one of the deadliest to one of the safest in Latin America. But that peace has come at a cost, with thousands of innocent people jailed. Amna Nawaz and producer Teresa visited the country for the report. You tell me. I don't trust the corporate press. These people who come out and told us Haiti was great already, and then they insult Nayib Bukele, and they say he's an authoritarian, and they say that innocent people are being locked up. And I say, you know, maybe, but I don't believe you. I don't believe you. Nayib Bukele gets elected in El Salvador, says we are going to clean this country up. We are going to arrest criminals. And the Western Democrat media in this country, the Democrat media, the liberal media, they come out and they start screaming, he's an authoritarian. Why? It's very strange. They don't want these other countries to get better. So they say he's an authoritarian. He's arresting innocent people. And I say, you told me Haiti was great. You told me that Haiti was great. You did a Potemkin village tour with a coconut to trick us into thinking Haiti was great. Why? Why? And then when Nayib Bukele starts arresting criminal gangs, you say he's arresting innocent people. Okay, I don't believe you. I think it's entirely possible innocent people have gotten arrested in El Salvador. Fact. And that is worrying to me. Many people have pointed out, like, it's rough. But now El Salvador is facing remigration. I've personally met people who are from El Salvador. I was playing at, where was I? I was at MGM National Harbor playing poker. And a guy said that he was from El Salvador. I was like, really? He's like, what's it like now? He's like, we're moving back. You're moving back? He's like, my family wants to move back now that it's safe. Now that Nayib has cleaned the streets up. These people insult Nayib Bukele. And they cheered for Haiti. Now, I want you to think about American domestic politics. Which world would you choose? It's an honest question. What we're seeing now is the people who defended Haiti, well, they're the people they support, Joe Biden, Democrats, they're in control of these cities. They're in control of the executive branch, law enforcement. And this is what we're seeing. It's the country they want you to live in. There's an unconfirmed report. A woman recorded a video where she said that she lives in Florida and they arrested her and sent her to Colorado over January 6th charges. We are currently working, SCNR.com is currently working, the journalist there, to vet the story And I believe it's sounding like it's likely to be vetted. But we I want to be careful. I want confirmation. The world we live in is, if you open your hair salon during a lockdown, they'll arrest you. If you're a violent criminal, they'll release you. In New York, bail reform, illegal immigration, it's resulted in a spike in massive crime, a problem they created. Democrats created the problem, causing a reaction, which they have the solution to. That's what Alex Jones say all the time. Problem, reaction, solution. I'm not a big fan. I don't think he made it up. I'm not a big fan of that as the slogan, I guess. I prefer infiltrate, destroy, rebuild. Democrats infiltrate these cities. I shouldn't even say Democrats, but through the Democratic Party, these individuals infiltrate. They then destroy everything, and now they are rebuilding it. That's the plan. They get elected. They release the criminals into the street, destroying the city. And now they're bringing the National Guard to rebuild it in their image. It's fascinating, right? The National Guard was deployed in New York in the subway system because, well, a variety of things. I mean, there's been a massive increase in people being pushed onto the tracks. A viral video of a man being pushed onto the tracks and then crushed by a train. Nuts. And that one's interesting because it may have been that the person who did the shoving was defending himself. We don't know for sure. But still, the fight broke out. A subway train conductor, they stick their heads out of the window to look to see that it's clear when they come to a stop. As he did this, a man slashed his throat, one of these conductors. So they said, we will be deploying the National Guard, which does very little, to be honest. Scares people, I guess. But it's martial law. National Guard being deployed into the subways is just the first step. Now what they'll start doing is actually enforcing the law. They will then claim, look, the subway's cleaned up. Crime is down. We need more National Guard in the streets of New York. I wonder if their real fear is conflict and chaos that may arise in the coming months, particularly over the election. And so they will use this as justification to deploy National Guard across this country, citing crime in big cities, because they fear people might actually revolt. The world they're bringing to you is the world of Haiti. The world Trump would bring you to is the world of El Salvador. And the question is, which would you prefer? Serious question. Maybe it's true that Naib has been arresting innocent people. That's bad. It really is. It's hard to argue with the results, though. And so the challenge is the individual liberties versus the crime we're seeing. If it were the case that in New York you were able to defend yourself, keep and bear arms, perhaps there'd be an argument for releasing these criminals and erring on the side of liberty. But they don't let you do that either. They give you anarcho-tyranny. If you defend yourself, you go to jail. Otherwise, the criminals are released and the crime gets worse. It's crazy to see what's happening in Haiti, my friends. Let me pull up the story from Google. As of 2022, 731,000 Haitian immigrants reside in the United States, the 15th largest foreign-born population. But that's not 731,000 that were let in. Just the large number. And so I want to make sure that's clear so people can understand that context. There are some reports coming out that 100 plus thousand in the past couple of years have been allowed in. The total number is, I believe it is correct to say it is around there. I believe that there really are Haitian refugees. And I believe that we should help refugees. I also think that there are other places Haitians can go before they come to America. Now, for Caribbean islands, it's not the same as flying from Africa to Brazil and making your way up to Mexico. But the point is, so long as there are these criminal gangs, why would we not have border security? Otherwise, we're going to end up like Haiti. And I think that's a track we're on. Man, shout out to El Salvador. Bitcoin broke a new record high. El Salvador is swimming. I'll leave it there. Next segment is coming up at 1 p.m. on this channel. Thanks for hanging out, and I'll see you all then. So apparently everybody's a big mad at Joe Biden because he apologized to the murderer of Lake and Riley. Sort of. I'm being a bit hyperbolic, but he apologized for saying illegal in reference to Lake and Riley's murderer, which, look, we're going to play this semantic game. They're going to say he didn't apologize. Biden said he regretted using the term because people were upset. Who's offended by the term? Okay, who's he justifying this to? I think it's a fair assessment to say that Joe Biden is apologizing to the murderer, not directly, but that's basically what this is. Well, Joe Biden was giving an interview and saying, oh, I regret using the term illegal, undocumented. That's right, my friends. It was an undocumented rapist and murderer who killed Lake and Riley. Donald Trump was meeting with Lake and Riley's family, and Joe Biden didn't even know Lake and Riley's name. He said Lincoln. The media tried to cover it up. Right now, there is crime in this country. Violent crime is going up, and the people who cross the border illegally are not undocumented, and they're not illegal. I actually want to say this. I accept Biden saying he regrets using illegal. I do not accept him saying he should have said undocumented. No. The correct term, my friends, is criminal alien. That is the legal term. A criminal alien. That's really it. Illegal alien is often used, but criminal alien, why? Anyone who crosses the border illegally is not an illegal person. I actually agree with leftists on that. They're criminals. So call them a criminal immigrant or call them a criminal alien, because that's how they're referred to in law. Let me stress this again. Joe Biden was wrong to say illegal in reference to the murderer of Lake and Riley. He should have said criminal alien rapist and murderer. He could have at least said the criminal alien who killed Lake and Riley should be deported. Here's the important point. The left will argue it's not an issue of whether a person's undocumented. They'll say it's an issue of crime in general. Well, crime is bad and we want to stop crime. I can tell you this. If you enforce, say, like the border, then these people would not be here. The criminals who are murdering people. Now, if you want to make an argument about refugees and legitimate refugees, I have nothing but respect for them. If someone comes to this country as a legitimate refugee, in fact, it is the criminal aliens that are making it harder and more difficult for legitimate refugees to come into this country. Let's say you live in a small town and you're a local community leader and the cartels come to you and they threaten your life. So you pack up your family and you flee 100 miles to the American border and say, they're going to kill me. Please help. I say, yes, we help you, sir. Absolutely. The only problem is that's like less than 1% of actual cases of people claiming to be refugees. In reality, many of them are economic migrants. But here's the big news, and I want to talk to you about crime. Because, you know, it's getting kind of crazy in Haiti. And there's a cannibal gang leader named Barbecue, who is considered to be the most powerful man in Haiti right now. And I pointed out how the left, in my earlier segment, how the left kept saying Haiti was already great and Conan O'Brien was laughing. Just absolute scumbaggery. Right now, as we're dealing with this issue, I thought to myself, you know, it's fascinating that I think most people thought this, that Joe Biden would apologize over the wrong term instead of reaching out to the family and saying, I'm not going to apologize to this guy. I'll call him whatever I want. He's a monster. Instead, Joe Biden criticizes Trump for referring to these criminals and rapists and murderers as vermin or animals. I just want to point that out. Donald Trump directly referencing cartel gangs and murderers called them animals. And Biden is shocked and upset by that. The country they want you to live in, you will not enjoy. Because, you know, right now, the big story, one of the big stories out of New York, is that they've called in the National Guard. There's another big story that a man shoved a woman in front of a train, severing her legs clean off. Well, damaging her legs so severely they had to be amputated. I'd imagine having your legs crushed by a subway train would likely result in them barely being attached at all. So amputation is, I'd imagine they're all already amputated after that, but that's what happened. They said the man had a known history. It was his girlfriend he was mad at, so he shoved her in front of the train trying to kill her, and instead she lost her legs. Because of this degree of crime, they've called in the National Guard. But I remember, not that long ago, the corporate press told us there was no crime wave. Over and over and over again. They said there's no crime wave. Because, my friends, they're evil. There's no other way to describe this. Your house is on fire and they are pinning you down to the couch saying, shut up, there is no fire.
Meanwhile, Donald Trump's at the door being like, your house is burning down. It was a good house, now it's bad. And this is where we're at. They're screaming, shut up and don't trust him. He's lying. He's lying. Trump saying, a man just came into your house and set fire to it. Said, no, that never happened. That's just your neighbor. Ignore the problem. There's no problem. And your house burns down around you. That's where we are right now. You know, when I'm looking at the story, it's anarcho-tyranny is what we're experiencing and describing it as. But they would apologize to the murderer indirectly. Fair point. Indirectly. While the rest of us suffer because of it. The New York Post reports Biden sparks outrage as he apologizes for using illegal to describe Laken Riley's accused migrant killer. I love it. New York Post, criminal alien. That's the term. It literally is. It is not meant. Look, I'll tell you this. Me saying criminal alien isn't like a haha, I got you. It's just what they're called. You want to get, here's how to describe it. The right keeps playing the moderate game. The conservative base in this country are centrists. Fact. And the left are extremists. And I will give you one simple example, as I often do, to prove it. On social media, the rule bases are all skewed towards the left perspective. Misgendering policy is a really good example. Very few people in the world recognize the concept of misgendering the way the left does. The word is a neologism as it is, because nobody would say that. They'd just be like, you must be confused if you call a man a woman. The left says, if a male wants to be female, you must use female pronouns. Otherwise, you would be misgendering them. To call a trans-identified male a man is misgendering. Well, to 99.9% of the world, to refer to someone male as female would be misgendering. And so here's the point. If conservatives actually pushed for a right-wing position, they would argue that Elon Musk should ban anyone who uses preferred pronouns. They don't. They argue for the moderate position of just don't ban anyone over this. Middle of the road. Middle of the road. The right-wing position would be, if you use the wrong pronouns, you're banned. The left-wing position is, if you don't use the pronouns we want, you're banned. And the middle of the road is, guys, just don't ban anybody. Let them have their speech. Unfortunately for conservatives, y'all are in the middle, not even on the right, and you can barely manage that. But that's the point. Take a look at this. Biden sparked outrage Saturday as he apologized in a new interview for using the word illegal to describe Laken Riley's alleged killer during the State of the Union address. However, the embattled commander-in-chief failed to apologize or even acknowledge that he butchered the murder victim's name twice as Lincoln Riley. Today, President Trump honored Laken Riley while Joe Biden apologized for calling the animal who murdered her an illegal. It's despicable. Utah Senator Mike Lee blasted Biden's comments as too little too late. Biden's word choice doesn't change the fact that Laken Riley's killer, one, entered the U.S. illegally, having been encouraged to do so by Biden's open border policies, and later killed Laken Riley. As I mentioned earlier, the left likes to make this argument where they say, it's an issue of crime, not immigration. It's not. If you deport people who should not be here, those subsequent crimes would not exist. There you go. This is where we're at. Regardless of what euphemisms Biden uses, he enabled Laken Riley's murderer. The comment also outraged average voters on social media. He just lost my vote, said an ex-user named Soul Survivor S. During an interview with MSNBC, Jonathan Capehart, Biden satisfied the Democratic Party's far-left faction by expressing remorse for using the term illegal while describing Jose Antonio Ibarra, the killer of Riley, a Georgia nursing student. I shouldn't have used illegal. It's undocumented, he said. And look, when I spoke of the difference between Trump and me, one of the things I talked about in the border was the way he talks about vermin, the way he talks about these people polluting the blood. I talked about what I'm not going to do, what I won't do. I'm not going to treat any of these people with disrespect. Look, they built the country. That is such an offensive statement. The reason our economy is growing, we have to control the border and more orderly flow, but I don't share his view at all. Look, they built the country. The reason our economy is growing, we have to control the border and more orderly flow, but I don't share his view at all, continued Biden. So you regret using the word, Capehart asked. Yes, Biden responded. Now, I'll be literal as I can. Joe Biden stated he regrets saying illegal, that he should have used undocumented after outrage from Democrats and leftist activists. That's what literally happened. My view is, I think it's fair to say, Biden has effectively apologized to the murderer over the offensive statement he made. Pick your poison, ladies and gentlemen, because while Joe Biden's doing that, Trump met with Lake and Riley's family backstage at Georgia rally, profoundly honored. Former President Trump blamed Biden for the nursing student's death over his open borders policies. You know, which one do you want? Look, crime is bad. Murderers are bad. And there are American murderers. It happens all the time. In New York, for instance, that's what we're talking about. It's an American who shoved a woman in front of a train, and it happens a lot. And the crime is so bad that the governor called in the National Guard. That's the level of failure of the Democrat policies in New York. But where are we? Well, I will point this out. Biden's illegal fallout. Axios actually goes a bit further than just pointing out the news by stating that MSNBC, many leftists were criticizing him over saying this. And of course, we went through this. But here we go. From the New York Daily News. Couple argued before woman pushed onto New York City subway tracks, losing legs. Horror story. It was a man that was known to law enforcement. Christian Valdez, in 2017, was charged with stabbing a woman and her 3-year-old daughter, and then threatening to toss the girl off a Bronx fire escape. Tell me why. A man who would stab a child would be released. They said, you know what? It's been 7 years. Let him loose. You know what's really wild is there's this viral story about Joe Rogan interviewed this criminal justice reform activist guy. He had spent time in prison and said he turned his life around. A month later, the dude was arrested for murder. And neighbors apparently heard someone in his apartment begging for their life or something like that. It's a wild story. Recidivism, man. A homeless parolee charged, he was on parole, charged Sunday with shoving his girlfriend into the path of a Manhattan subway train, which horrifically severed her legs around her knees, told police he attacked the woman during an argument. You know what's really horrifying? Let me see. They said, look, he has schizophrenia. He needs special help. He needs mental health help, said his niece. Okay, that he should never be released. I remember reading, learning about the story. I was learning about the insanity plea back when I was a teenager. I took for 2 months a criminal justice course, getting those associate's credits, which ultimately went nowhere. I think I went for like 2 months and then stopped. And that was it. It was really funny. As an aside, you know, technically my highest level of education is some college, because I dropped out of high school, but then took like 2 credit courses. But I learned, we talked about the story about a guy who he pleaded insanity, which is an extremely rare form of defense where you basically are saying to the court, you don't know the difference between right and wrong. And therefore, there's no guilt. You accept what you did, but you don't understand why it was wrong. And there needs to be some mental evaluation. Well, this guy thought he was going to get away with a crime by pleading insanity because he saw too many movies. They think you plead insanity and they let you go. No, literally not how it works. Apparently, what ended up happening was this guy got locked up. And after as soon as he realized that the insanity lockup was indefinite, he said, oh, no, what would have been a couple of years in prison will now be the rest of his life. And he tried to change his plea. And then they responded with, so you're a sociopath. Yeah, you're mentally ill. You're staying locked up. He could have just pleaded guilty and got probation, parole, reduced sentence. But saw too many movies. So his defense apparently successfully argued he didn't know the difference between right and wrong or something like that. It's been 20 years since I read the story. But my point is this. Christian with schizophrenia, whatever. He should be locked up forever because he is a dangerous, violent, disturbed person. But they let him go and they put him on parole. This is the horrifying part. After he pushed her onto the train and the train crushed her legs, she screamed, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this. You didn't. You did not deserve that. But that's what your city brings you. Now, the fascinating thing is, we know crime is skyrocketing. Let me grab the very obvious story here from Fox News, which many of you saw last week. New York Governor Hochul calls in National Guard state police to help curb crime in New York City subways. Crime has gotten so bad in New York that they need the National Guard to help deal with it. There's also a report, which I'm going to do another segment on. Pittsburgh is pulling their police. That's right. Between the hours of 3 a.m. and 7 a.m., there will be no police officers available. Don't worry. You don't need it. They said nothing happens anyway. They'll no longer respond to certain emergency calls. Sorry, you don't need help. We'll take your report over the phone. Attacked, harassed, criminal mischief, people running through the streets, smashing things. Cops, you know, you don't need it. Look at California. This is where we're going. Let me show you some news stories. Here's the New York Mag Intelligencer. Stats don't back up Republicans' crime wave rhetoric from October 17th. Here's NPR. Stories about crime are rife with misinformation and racism, critics say. 2022. NPR. Some Republicans say New York is in the grips of a crime wave. Experts say not at all. Really? Well, if those experts are right, then we should remove the National Guard from all the subways. How about that? That one's from April of 2023. Hey, we found another New York Mag one. When the crime wave recedes, the only certainty of America's urban politics is that there will be more cops. Yes. When the So there is a crime wave now? Incredible. The truth about crime that Fox doesn't want you to know, MSNBC. New data from the FBI shows crime rates fell nationally last year, but Republicans and their favorite media act otherwise. Really? Okay. Then why the National Guard? Why is the National Guard being deployed into New York if there's no crime wave? No, this is the point. We know there's crime. We've talked about it on the show quite a bit. Crime, it's actually really bad. Many of these criminals who are coming in the country and committing violent acts are criminal aliens. They are not residents of this country. They have entered illegally and they've gone on to commit crimes. But the left keeps saying it's not happening. They said Haiti was great already. Conan O'Brien and his Potemkin Village tour. They hate Trump so much, they would burn this country to the ground. Yeah. It's unfortunate. It really is. That's where we are. So you can support Donald Trump, who is far from perfect, kind of a dick, that's the truth. But he meets with Lake and Riley's parents after their daughter was murdered by a criminal alien. Joe Biden instead goes on TV and says, you know, I shouldn't have said illegal. Yeah, lest we accidentally offend the delicate sensibilities of that rapist and murderer, allegedly. Alleged. No, I think it's fair to say even if he's not a citizen, he's not been convicted in a court of law. And right now he's a suspect. I'll also point out a lot of people are getting this one wrong. There's a photo of a guy flicking off the camera. And they're like, this guy got released. Okay, so NYPD cops got beat up by illegal immigrants. They arrested this guy and then released him. And conservatives got really mad. But the guy they released was falsely accused. That's what they're claiming. They're saying he's not the guy from the video. You got it wrong. And I'm like, I'm seeing all these conservatives be like, why did they release him? I can't believe it. Well, because they got the wrong guy. Like, you know, if you arrest the wrong guy, you arrest the wrong guy. He should be deported. That's the funny thing. It's like, when I saw the report, I was like, this man should have the charges dismissed if it turned out he was falsely accused, and he should be immediately deported back to his home country because he committed a crime to come here. No. Instead, what happens is they release him to the streets, and he may not be the guy who beat up the cops or joined in the fight, but he is still, in fact, a criminal alien. You heard it from Joe Biden. They built this country. They're making the economy better. I hope every single member of Gen Z hears that. And I hope you all share this story with them. If you are in Gen Z, share this. If you know people who are Gen Z, tell them this. If they're wondering why they can't afford their hotels, or I'm sorry, if they can't afford apartments, why they can't afford families or cars or insurance, why they're struggling to live, look no further than the Democrats' immigration policy. Hotel Roosevelt, New York City. They are using your tax dollars and your inheritance to pay for criminal aliens to come into this country. And they say it's great for the economy. Yeah, but not for Gen Z. You see, young people are supposed to inherit what we build and pass on. The older generation builds a bunch of stuff. They get old, they die, and then their children and those who remain inherit these things. I remember I was crossing the Williamsburg Bridge in New York. It's a beautiful bridge with a great walkway. It's very, very tall. You climb up. It's a lot of fun. I used to ride my bike across it. Good exercise. Really great exercise. And I thought to myself, wow, how many millions of dollars and hours of labor to build this bridge that stands tall so I can walk from Brooklyn to Manhattan? You know, a long time ago, people would have to take ferries. And if you had stuff you had to carry, good luck. Hard. Expensive. And then they decided we're going to pitch in, come together and build this big bridge. You can drive across it. You can ride your bike across. You can walk across it, skateboard across it, whatever. And it will just be there. It needs to be repaired. And so we need to pitch in a little bit. But for the most part, me, I did nothing. I showed up to New York one day and there was a bridge there that I could just use free of charge. Because there were men before me. And they built this. And I get to inherit those luxuries. And I respect that. I am grateful. You see, Gen Z is supposed to inherit these things as well and then build upon them, as we all do. And then eventually, New York just gets better and better. Instead, they've brought in criminal aliens and they've been handing off the inheritance of Gen Z to people who are not citizens of this country. That means all the hard work done by those who came before us is not being given to the children of this nation. It's being given to criminal aliens instead. So I say again, if you're Gen Z and you are frustrated because you can't afford your own apartment, you can't even get your own apartment. I mean, let alone a house. You want to get an apartment, just have a space to your own. Well, guess what? We got a nice bachelor apartment for $2,300 in New York. It's 10 feet by 6 feet. There's no bathroom, but you get a sink so you can run water. Meanwhile, the criminal alien, they're being given luxury hotel rooms with their own private bathrooms, televisions, and even Xbox in some circumstances. They're given debit cards with thousands of dollars on it. What if we gave it to Gen Z instead? What if we said, the economy's in dire straits, so we're going to do a Kickstarter program for Gen Z. If you qualify by, say, having a family or buying a house, we're going to give you a tax credit. We're going to give you a debit card. We're going to help cover the cost of that home purchase. Wouldn't that be amazing? Now, I got to be honest. I think ultimately that would still have its problems, the government subsidizing people who can't afford it. But I don't see how giving all of this away to non-citizens is better in any way. And so while I don't agree with giving away free housing or anything like that either, I can certainly tell you we would be much better off in this country if all of the criminal aliens were deported and we gave Gen Z free accommodation at Hotel Roosevelt. Young person fresh out of college says, I'm trying to get started. What do I do? And they say, we're going to put you up in a hotel. We are going to give you $3,000 on a debit card. You will have a TV, a private bathroom. And then every month you must give us $100 up to the cost of rent for that. So your first month is free. Your second month is $100. Your third month is $200. Your fourth month is $400. And then it caps out at, you know, whatever the cost is, which may be like $2,000. So you're going to get a year and a half of reduced rate rent to help you get on your feet. But the clock is ticking. I'm not a big fan of doing that outright, but I'm saying that instead of giving it to illegal aliens, to criminal aliens, why don't we do that? Maybe that's the big ask they're pulling off. That way that we can get all outraged over this. And at the last minute, they're going to say, okay, fine, we'll get rid of all this and we'll give it to Gen Z. I'd say, really? It's better than nothing. So I tell you, Gen Z, it's a vote for Trump. Because they're going to keep giving away what is yours. And I want to stress this. I continually rag on the entitlement of millennials and some in Gen Z. They believe that they're owed things. I shouldn't have to work. I'm not talking about those people. The reality is this. The silent generation will die. The baby boomers will die. Millennials will die. Gen Z will die. Gen Alpha will die. This is the normal process of civilization. When the silent generation dies, their children, Gen X, I skipped over Gen X. Sorry about Gen X. We always forget about Gen X. their children, which are mostly Gen X and some boomers, will inherit, become wealthier. When the boomers die, Gen Z and some millennials will inherit. That's the way it's supposed to be, at least. While many millennials are inheriting the reins of corporate culture and the wealth of this country, we're now seeing millionaire millennials rise up. Boomers still hold a disproportionate amount of wealth. Where's Gen Z? Now in their 20s, entering the workforce, in 5 to 10 years, Gen Z should be running the show. Not completely, but to a large degree. Middle management positions. Where are they? In their mid-20s, Gen Z should be buying houses. They should be. It's the start of the process where they should be. They should. But millennials can't even do it either. Why? The inheritance that was supposed to be transferred from the older generation to the younger generation is going to criminal aliens, and that offends me. I'll leave it there. Next segment's coming up at 4 p.m. on this channel. Thanks for hanging out, and I'll see you all then. So apparently the Oscars happened. I didn't care. I think most people don't care anyway. But Jimmy Kimmel got really mad because Trump cared. And Trump truthed, that is, he posted on social media, that there is no worse host. It was actually a really hilarious moment. And the best part of this is that, so apparently live at the Oscars, Jimmy Kimmel reads a post from Trump himself and actually gets a laugh out of the audience. I'll just play the clip for you. Then we can talk about the disgusting nature that is the Academy Awards. Jimmy gets roasted. And then, I mean, there's no real point in him reading this. But the real issue and the real story is not Trump. And it's not the Oscars themselves. It's who the Oscars gave the awards to. And apparently, Poor Things, starring Mark Ruffalo, Willem Dafoe, Emma Stone, won a bunch of awards. And I just felt to myself, this movie epitomizes exactly what they are. If you haven't seen the movie Poor Things, I don't recommend it. It is quite possibly one of the worst movies I've ever seen. It's like 2 hours and 20 minutes long or whatever. It's long, not the longest. And it's, let's just call it adult content. It's not a movie. There's no movie in this. It is random words said by people. The acting is apocalyptic, and it's no. And hold on. Now, many of you may be saying, "Wow, I really don't want to watch this," but there is a whole lot of sex with Emma Stone, and they show it all. Maybe that's why they like the movie. Me, look, I get it. If you want to watch that kind of stuff to not get your rocks off or whatever, you do what you want to do. Whatever. But if I want to watch a movie, I'm like, I want to see a story and be entertained. Congratulations, Oscars. Now, I guess other things won awards too, but we'll talk about that as well. Let me play this clip of Jimmy Kimmel for you. Oh, okay. This is super quiet. Yeah, okay. Then I'm not going to play it because, you know what? I want to say this too as well. I got you here. X has a problem with the audio levels of their videos, but maybe it's just the people posting because for whatever reason, I go on YouTube, the audio is normalized. I go on X. Everyone's videos are super quiet. And you probably notice it when I play videos off of X on this show. But here we are. I'll read it for you. Jimmy Kimmel closed out the Academy Awards Sunday. Before the final award for Best Picture, he took to the stage to read. He says a former president said something. Has there ever been a worse host than Jimmy Kimmel at the Oscars? His opening was that of a less than average person trying too hard to be something which he is not and never can be. Get rid of Kimmel and perhaps replace him with another washed up but cheap ABC talent, in quotes, George Slopinopoulos. He would make everyone on stage look bigger, stronger, and more glamorous. Also, a really bad politically correct show tonight. And for years, disjointed, boring, and very unfair. Why don't they just give the Oscars to those that deserve them? Maybe that way their audience and TV ratings will come back from the depths, make America great again. I love that. George Slopinopoulos. Look, man, during the State of the Union, Trump posted on Instagram that Snapchat filter video of Biden with like a chihuahua head. And it's just funny. It's funny. He's ragging on these out of touch people we have nothing in common with. And this is where we are. Just when you, Trump also called the awards show a really bad politically correct show, disjointed, boring, and unfair. The Postman says, just when you thought Jimmy Kimmel's jokes about Robert Downey Jr. couldn't get any worse, Kimmel appeared to skip over the part of Trump's post where he said, why don't they just give the Oscars to those that deserve them? Maybe that way their audience and TV ratings will come back. The former host of The Man Show, who was previously dressed in blackface and made degrading gestures towards women, did not mention Trump by name, but asked the audience to guess which former president just posted the comment. He thanked Trump for watching and retorted, isn't it past your jail time? The comedian has a history of adding political commentary during hosting gigs, blah, 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 blah. You know why Jimmy Kimmel did this? Jimmy Kimmel mentioned Donald Trump because it's the only way he can get anyone to talk about the Oscars. And he knows it. For the longest time, it started when Trump announced he was running for president. I mean, I got to be honest. It started a lot earlier than that. Donald Trump generates attention. We get it. And so where are we today? These people, long past the era of Trump's presidency, because maybe there's one coming up, still are desperate to invoke the president's name to get attention. Former president, I know. But we call former presidents Mr. President, so calm down. The Oscars, you know what? Let's actually do this fact check. Let's see what were the Oscars ratings. Because I think they're just really, really bad. They are culturally irrelevant. And let's see, peak audience of 1 million. Is that it? ITV's Oscars broadcast brings in peak audience of over 1 million. Interesting. So that was in the UK. Hey, wow, more power to you. 1 million people in the UK. But do we have, I don't think. Okay, here we go. 22 hours ago. Let's pull up this right here. Let's take a look at how the Oscars have fallen. Then we'll talk about Poor Things. I'll give you a review, sort of. The show's record viewership in 1998, Titanic, 55 million viewers. Man, those were the days, huh? Those were the days. Where are we at today? Oh, my God. Look at this. So you have 1960, 45.8 million. And then I think you have here, yeah. So this is, what is the ratings versus viewers? Okay, well, okay, so I see ratings, whatever that means. Actual viewer numbers, the biggest. 1998. I see. So ratings is comparable to other shows, I guess, other networks. So it looks like the total viewers for Titanic, 1998, or when Titanic was the big movie, 55 million. Well, I gotta say, good on them for reviving. I mean, the worst was in 2021 with 10 million, which is crazy because of COVID. Then they came back to 16, and in 2023, they had 18. So you know what? Hey, that's not so bad. That's not so bad. I'm sure Jimmy Kimmel is grateful that he can mention Donald Trump's name and help boost those numbers. I didn't watch it. I assume some of you did. But in a nation of, 330 million people, this decline means something. I'll tell you what it means. It's actually quite amazing to see that in 2020, that's COVID. It was 23 million. You would have expected more. 2014, there were 43 million viewers, and it has just dropped off rapidly. And I'll tell you why. It is the fragmenting of American culture. With shows like mine and many other internet-based commentators, pundits, influencers, etc., people now have a near infinite selection of people to choose from. I made this prediction back in like 2011 when I said that fame will likely not exist in the future. And I had these guys, I was at, what is it called? NAB or something? I don't know, National Association of Broadcasters or something. It was in the Netherlands. And I was like, yeah, look, when you had the Oscars and they got 55 million viewers, and they probably really did get around there, right? You have a host. That host is seen by everyone. Everyone knows who that person is. Today, 18 million, and it's not bad. You know, maybe it'll be a little higher this year. I kind of doubt it. Because it's dropped off way too much. But now it's how many people really saw your content. So Jimmy Kimmel certainly gets his, I think he gets like a million to 2 million on his network show, which is crazy, a crazy decline from where it used to be. And that's great. You know, it's bigger than we get, for sure, at Timcast IRL. But this is the interesting thing. The reason why I think fame is dying is that people are going to choose to watch who they want to watch. And people probably tuned into reruns of Timcast IRL over the Oscars. Not everybody, but a lot of people. That didn't used to exist back in the day. The amount of content and personalities is so massive, it's breaking down. The reason why there were 55 million viewers in 98 is because it was the only thing to watch. How many channels are there? Sure, there's cable, but it was like, that's the thing to watch. Nowadays, there's tons of other things you can watch. I think when you take a look at the movie Poor Things, it really does exemplify the just the, it's the end, man. I you know, like, there's got to be some resurgence. The night is always darkest before the dawn, but we need a cultural resurgence. Poor Things won 90 awards, 244 nominations, and anybody who's seen it and who is honest can tell you it's garbage. All right, here's the movie. A woman kills herself before she's actually, like, full-on corpse-like. Willem Dafoe's character says before rigor has set in. He takes the baby from her belly, I think, and he puts the baby's brain in the woman's body, creating an adult woman with a baby brain. And basically what happens is, I'll tell you what the movie really is. It's a woman with a baby brain who just has a lot of sex. And if you've ever wanted to see Emma Stone fully nude, full frontal and everything, this movie's got it. If you ever wanted to see her in various positions in, I wouldn't call it softcore, but I wouldn't call it hardcore, somewhere in between. If you're looking for that, this movie's got it in spades. And that's all it has. A science fantasy black comedy. There's no comedy in it. There's literally none. Or Emma Stone's just not funny. I suppose the funniest thing in it was when Willem Dafoe just says he's a eunuch. And I'm like, eh, okay, I guess. Like, I don't get the point or whatever. But basically, this woman, her brain is rapidly developing. She is discovering what it means to be human. And then they actually have a scene where Emma Stone takes a cucumber and, yup, you know where that one's going. And I'm just like, really? Look, this, it's not just about the Oscars. It wins all these awards. At the Academy Awards, it was nominated for Best Picture and Best Director. Best Actress won Emma Stone. Is that a joke? Best Supporting Actor, Ruffalo. Didn't win that one. Product Design wins. Makeup and Hairstyling won. Costume Design won. Film Editing, it did not win. It got several other nominations. So it won, what, four? That's not that big a deal. But ultimately, it won like 90 others. How this movie is even getting nominated by any of this stuff, it's just absolutely nuts. Let me see if I can look up accolades. Accolades for Groundhog Day. Groundhog Day film. Okay, Groundhog Day is a classic. Everybody knows Groundhog Day. How many awards did this thing win? Groundhog Day was a budget of 15 to 30 million, made $105 million back in the day. And they weren't making as much money back then. And of course, everybody, I'm sure you've seen Groundhog Day. It's absolutely amazing. It's the movie where Bill Murray keeps reliving the same day over and over and over again. It's funny. I don't know if we can look up how many awards it won. I guess not. Maybe Wikipedia doesn't have that, so I can find it somewhere else. Let me see if I can find that. Accolades. Let's see. Here we go. IMDb, Groundhog Day Awards. I'm hoping it won a lot. It won Saturn Awards. Okay, really? Okay. Let's see. It actually won those? 7 wins and nominations. Did it win these? I don't know. Okay, nominee. There it is. Yeah, it won Best Actress, Andie MacDowell, Saturn. Let's see. It did not win there. It won BMI. I don't know what that means. Oh, for music. That's cool. Best Screenplay it won for BAFTA. British Comedy Awards it did win as well. Hugo, what about the... Do they have Academy Awards? I guess they don't... Do they have that here? I guess not. It won a ton of awards. It won a ton of awards. Anyway, my point is simply this. Groundhog Day is a classic. And I use it as an example when I reference the 90s, and I'm like, we had a lot of really great movies in the 90s. Seriously, we did. And now what do we have? For a while, we've had cookie cutter garbage. We've had, you know, so the one thing I can give Poor Things is certainly unique, and I can appreciate the attempt. But I got to tell you, the acting is non-existent. It's not acting. There is no acting in this movie. I mean, like, literally, you can call it acting, but I'll describe it like this. When I watch a movie, my assumption is acting is like a guy walks in a room And he picks up his phone and he says, "We just got a call from the bank. How much have you been spending?" And then the wife says something like, "How much I've been spending is none of your business, Rick. If you've been paying," like, you know, acting like they're doing something and telling a story. All right. And then there's a guy and he's crying and he's like, "I just can't do this anymore, man. When I watched my friend take that pill," and I'm like, "Oh man, he took the pill. What was the pill?" And then he was tripping out. I'm like, "Oh man, acting, you know, Requiem for a Dream." How's that for a movie? What year was Requiem for a Dream? Let me pull that one up. That movie is crazy. Requiem for a Dream was 2000. Okay, so you're not quite in the 90s, but wow. Talk about a movie. All right. In Poor Things, it's literally just like they're saying words because there's nothing to act because it's all just weird art, generic. It's so weird. It's just not acting. I got no beef with the actors. I don't blame them. I blame the directors, the screenplay. I blame the actors, I guess, for wanting to be in it. But, you know, if you have a bad director and you have a bad editor, editors really, really take the cake. Because, look, here's how it goes. I can't speak for big movies, but we've done short films. We've done bits. We've done music videos. Director means everything. Because the director is imagining in their mind, like, okay, I need you right now. You're the actor. Tell me this. Say the line, "I just can't do this anymore." And then if you're reading a script, "I just can't do this anymore" can be translated in so many different ways. So like, for instance, when I've done voiceover for Freedom Tunes, Seamus has to direct it. It doesn't matter that I did the voice of Dr. Fauci and people thought I did a good job, because none of it matters if Seamus doesn't tell me how to say the line so that it fits with the greater vision of the larger piece, because I can't see any of it. The wild thing about making films and content is, you know, I have no idea what's going on. I get handed the script from Seamus and it's like, "Police officer says, I just can't seem to find the donut." Like, I have no idea what that means. I don't know the punchline or the reference. And so Seamus will say something like, his donut was in his lap, but he jumped up because Antifa showed up. Now he can't find his donut. So he's kind of like, "I can't find my donut," you know? And then I'm like, "Okay, let me try and say it that way." In this movie, so I don't blame them, the actors, but holy crap. I don't know how to describe it. I guess it's like, so Emma Stone's character has a baby brain and this lawyer guy played by Mark Ruffalo wants to have relations with her, and they do, and they show all of it. Dude, okay, they don't show like up close, but it's porn. Okay, I'm not kidding. Emma Stone on a bed, legs spread, Mark Ruffalo grunting, and they show it all in numerous positions. And Emma Stone's character becomes a hooker, and they show all of that too. Full frontal from all the guys and the women. They just don't show the, you know what I mean? But they do show the guy on top of her. They do show her. They show like Emma Stone bent over, hands up against the wall with the guy ramming her. You can see it. It's just porn. And I'm like, they're all here. Like, we're giving an award. But the acting was really funny because you have like Mark Ruffalo finds out what she's doing and gets mad. And like, it's acting, I guess, where he's like, "What? You did what?" And he throws the money. But the way they all speak, it's just not, it's the corniest fake. Maybe it's meant to be like on a stage. "You have broken my heart and you are wrong." And I'm like, what? He's just saying it in a weird way. It's not like acting. It's not a movie where people are genuinely expressing opinions. It's like there are periods where, I guess, Emma Stone's character, the joke is because her brain is a baby, she says things that don't make sense. She calls sex furious jumping, which is just stupid. You just call sex, like, you learn the word and you use the word. Other people have used the word. Why would you? It's so dumb. But she says things that just, she speaks in a way that makes no sense. It's supposed to be for the character, I guess, and it's artistic. But there's no acting involved when you say things like, "Food would be great, my face, I would like now." It's like, okay, like, I get it. You can read that, but actually making a convincing portrayal of a story is not done. I don't know, look, I'm just sitting here ragging on this movie. The movie was bad. Everyone we showed it to was like, "That was awful." And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. What was that? At first, I didn't want to watch it. And it does this thing where it, like, it starts off with a very compressed camera that slowly widens and there's no color. It's black and white. And then it starts turning colored, I guess, because like the idea is she's got a baby brain and she's developing. So talk about really dumb, really, really dumb and really just infuriating story. I don't know. Whatever. I'm done ragging on this. We're talking about the Oscars. Look, I look at this and I'm like, this is what they want me to watch the Oscars for. I know. Everyone was praising Oppenheimer. Fine. Fair point. But this is, it's stuff like this. The movies are just becoming weird, nonsensical garbage, or, you know, I don't know. I can't tell you the last good movie that I've seen. Sound of Freedom was pretty good, but it was fairly basic. You know what I mean? Like, we all liked Sound of Freedom. It had a good message, but it was like an episode of Law and Order SVU. You know, that's why it's funny they ragged on it. I'm like, guy, it's like, give it a B minus, a B maybe. Entertaining movie. Sound of Freedom was good. It had a good message. It was an independent, you know, production that shattered records. And we're like, this is what we want to get. We want to challenge Hollywood and make better things. But it's not like it was a masterpiece. Groundhog Day, I'm not going to call it a masterpiece. Whatever, it's great, though. Back to the Future 2. I think people don't realize, especially millennials, because we grew up with this, that these things were like revolutions. Star Wars. I remember talking to a guy, and I'm like, I don't know, why do people like Star Wars so much? I was like, I've seen it. I've seen a bunch of these movies. And someone said, dude, we did not have this kind of sci-fi before. It was like the first time you watched on a screen a spaceship, like lasers and lightsabers. You know, I know that there was Star Trek and stuff like that, but like in a big movie, these effects, it wasn't as ubiquitous. Nowadays, you're a kid, you've got every TV show, they're all doing it, everyone's doing it, and it's everywhere. It wasn't that for us. And I'm like, oh, I get it. Now what I see with this is they can't figure it out anymore. So they're just spinning around in circles. But hey, it is what it is. I'll leave it there. Next segment's coming up at 6 p.m. on this channel. Thanks for hanging out, and I'll see you all then. So there's this prominent Instagram, TikTok personality, Hannah Baron, and I believe she's from Alabama. She has a southern accent. She got a bunch of videos where she's catching fish and hunting deer, and in this one, it looks like she's building a barn or something like this. I don't really know who she is. Not really a fan. She seems pretty cool. I like the outdoor stuff. I like guns. I like hunting. I like all that stuff. So seems pretty okay. And the controversy now is, my friends, if you're attracted to tomboys, you're gay. Men. That's what they're saying right now. That this woman right here, because she does manly things like hunt and fish or whatever, you are gay if you are attracted to So here's where it all starts. Samira Khan, probably just figuring out ways to push buttons. She follows me. Foreign policy analyst, news correspondent. She says, this accent needs to be illegal and women should be banned from doing manual labor like this. There is nothing feminine about American women. American women are literally men. All right, you know, immediately I'm going to disagree with this just right off the bat. Because what makes someone a man or a woman is quite literally their bodies, not the things they enjoy doing. And it is actually the leftist argument that she's a man. And so what I need to tell you, guys, is that if you're a leftist, the leftist worldview is that if you're attracted to this young woman, you're gay because she's doing man things and wearing pants. I'm not joking. I mean, quite literally, that's the argument they make. Now, I do think it's fair that for those that aren't familiar with Hannah Baron, you can actually hear her accent, hear her speak. So and then you can understand what she's talking about.
Good morning, y'all. Quick update on the house, because I've been pretty terrible about giving y'all these. We took a little break for noodling season and to put out boxes. Now that it's dried in, we can do it at our own pace. But here she is. We're going to stain all that wood a darker brown. And the shutters, when we get that on, we'll have handrails, of course.
Okay, so whatever. I don't know. If you go to her Instagram, she's got 1.5 million followers. Catfish girl. She got a video of her with a big catfish. Very famous. Lots of photos. Women know what they are and what they be doing, right? She's got photos where she's wearing very tight pants, like yoga pants or whatever. So, of course, she's going to get a ton of followers. She's going to sell products. She's going to make money. She's going to do her thing. I literally don't care. I mean, let's just be real right off the bat, right away, with the whole argument about, like, you shouldn't be a tractor. It's a fake argument. Samira Khan maybe really has the opinion that women should be more feminine, wear dresses or whatever, but the reality is everybody knows, everybody likes a certain type. When Jordan Peterson got mad, I think it was like Sports Illustrated or something, put like an obese woman on the cover, and he was like, no, clean your room. And I said, like, chill out, Dr. Peterson. Some guys like fat chicks. I don't know if it was Sports Illustrated. I don't think it was Sports Illustrated. It was some other magazine. And I'm like, no, I get it. We don't want to encourage people to be out of shape and unhealthy and all this stuff. You want to eat right and, you know, again, be healthy. But people got different tastes. And you know what I mean? Like if you like women wearing fancy dresses and acting like regal royalty, etc., that's all you, man. And if you like a chick who's going to kill a buck with a crossbow, maybe that's more your style. Do your thing. Be happy. That's the world. But what I find really, really funny about this is that when she says American women are literally men, well, I mean, that's like a leftist standard. That's like not wrong, I guess. Here's the point. If you hold the leftist worldview that wearing a dress makes you a woman, you would agree with her. Samira posts, she posts photos of herself like wearing a gown and like doing very traditional feminine things. And she's like, this is what it means to be a woman. And I'm like, no, being a woman is like being born a woman. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that just because you're wearing a dress, you're feminine. Because if we operate on Samira Khan's logic, that means males who act like females are literally women. I guess if that's your worldview and you're on the left, that's the reality. So I saw these tweets and they were not the BS story. They say this Lebanese woman started a war over the weekend by saying American ladies aren't attractive like her. But you got to see the replies. Oh, it's silly. It's just, I don't think any of this stuff is real. Who's going to argue that like a fit young woman, you know, is unattractive or whatever? It's like, come on, dude. There are morbidly obese women and guys just love it. Like everybody's got a different taste, some more than others. Like, you know, obviously fit women are probably going to be found to be more attractive than morbidly obese ones, obviously, but everybody has their taste. But what I absolutely loved about this was this argument where people were claiming that if you are, here we go. Samira says the mascots of American conservative movement in 2024 and the OK sign. Oh, white supremacy. And I'm like, okay, it's Oliver Anthony playing the guitar and it's Hannah Barron holding a catfish. And I'm like, and? Literally, yes. Okay, I guess. Okay. And the thing is, too, it's like, I never even heard of this Hannah Barron woman. So it's like, whatever. But here's what I love. I Google searched it because people were like, if you're attracted to Hannah Barron, you're gay because she's a tomboy. That's what they're tweeting. That's what they're saying. And the leftist argument is yes. So I Googled it and I found this thread from Empty Closets. I have no idea what it is. It was just on Google. Is being into tomboys make you gay? And so I'll give you the gist of it. I don't actually want to read the form. I just thought it was funny. The guy's like, he thought Miley Cyrus was hot and his friend said he was gay because she's got a short haircut and she acts like a dude and wears dude clothes. And then his lesbian friend said, actually, yeah, you're gay because you're into dudes. Because being a dude is what you wear. Get it? So this is where we're currently at. In leftist politics. So we had Lance from The Serfs on Timcast IRL. And it was one of the funniest exchanges I've ever had. He said that, okay, here's where it goes. I said, if you're a male and you are dating a trans woman who is male, you are gay. You are homosexual. I am not saying it to insult anybody. I don't understand why they're so offended by it. And he's like, no, you're not. It's a woman. Trans women are women. Therefore, if you're a man dating a woman, you're straight. And I'm like, no, homosexual means same sex. A trans woman is a male. A man is a male, whatever you want to call it. Two males in a relationship together is homosex, homosexual. You shouldn't be mad about that. I don't know why you're offended. Just say, yes, of course. But they get all bent out of shape. And so I'm like, okay, wait, hold on. Like, what about these two males make the person a woman? He's like, the way they look and the way they dress. This is the leftist argument. And so I'm like, okay. So if there are two dudes that identify as dudes and they straight up say, we are both men, but one guy is this big ripped biker dude and the other guy is short and effeminate and wears lipstick and makeup and a tutu, but says he's a man, that's a straight relationship. And he's like, yes. And I was like, but they both call themselves guys. He's like, yeah, but he's effeminate, that's straight. And I'm like, uh-huh. I was like, okay, how about It's a manly guy and a woman who is super ripped and manly, but female. Is that gay? He goes, yes, that's gay. and then Ian was like, dude, that's messed up. You can't call someone gay because their girlfriend is ugly. And it was like one of the funniest exchanges ever because Ian is absolutely right. OK, if there is a dude and he is a regular guy, he's like a guy. OK, and he's got, you know, guy parts and his girlfriend looks very manly, but is female, biologically female. Dude, it's so mean to call them in a gay relationship because the woman is manly. Like, there's tons of women who want to be feminine and effeminate, but are naturally more manly. And you're just like yelling at them saying, you're a man. And she's like, no, I'm not. I'm a, no, you're a man. Like, that's so brutal. Look, man, I'm sorry. Different strokes for different folks. You know what I mean? You know what? You could take the most tomboyish of women, short hair, big muscles, talking like this. And if she marries a male and they have kids and all that stuff, that is a straight relationship. And if the woman was wearing a dress and she talked like this and said, I am royalty or whatever it is, still a straight relationship. The world that they're trying to live in is this transhumanist reality, I guess, where they're trying to make it like what you feel on the inside as some kind of, it's funny because it's like a spirit or a soul determines what you really are and your body is meaningless. What's fascinating about this is that they've effectively created this belief system where a soul exists, an internal self that exists beyond the body. And so I tweeted this. I said, the belief that you could be born in the wrong body inherently argues for the existence of a soul. And then they immediately go, no, no, we don't believe in any of that stuff. We're not religious. And I'm like, then either your body is you. They make an argument saying like, no, your brain and your body are different. I'm like, your brain is part of your body. How could you be born in the wrong body? What are they saying? So they like to make the argument that there's a male brain and a female brain. Sure, I mean, depending on hormone development, but that's not really what's going on now, is it? I think that was all debunked, by the way, anyway, but I'm not going to sit here and argue. I don't have the science pulled up in front of me, so by all means, I could be wrong about that. I think the reality is this. First of all, it's hilariously fake and ridiculous. Like, is this a young woman wearing tight yoga pants? And they're like, she's a tomboy. No, she's not. She's tomboy-ish in that she does, like, outdoors stuff. But that's not, like, tomboy women, she wears makeup. She puts her hair up. She does her hair right. It's funny because, like, I saw a video of her, and she's, like, in the water working on something with full makeup on. And I'm like, come on, dude. It's just for guys who are outdoorsy and are attracted to that kind of thing. That's it. Tomboy girls usually were like, they wouldn't wear makeup. They'd be wearing blue jeans and t-shirts. They'd be skating. They'd be doing sports. They'd have a backwards baseball cap. They dress like guys. They act like guys. And that's not what she is. Ultimately, I thought this was funny because they said it was a gay if you were in a tomboys. And specifically referencing her. And I was kind of like, but the reality is, if you're a leftist, that's what they think. That's what they think. So they live in this weird world where ultimately that dude Lance, who's like a straight white guy, I guess, claims that he's queer or something because of that reality. In their gender ideology reality, that means everyone is queer. And I think that's ultimately what they want. If you're a male and you're attracted to a biological female, but she's wearing blue jeans and likes to go hunting, you are queer now. Congratulations, you've earned your brownie points and now you're an oppressed minority. How stupid is all this anyway? Welcome to the fun of the internet. I'll leave it there. Next segment is coming up at 8 p.m. over at youtube.com/TimCastIRL. Thanks for hanging out, and I will see you all then.